That has to be on.
Now it's gone.
Beautiful.
That means we're live and direct. All right. Well, greetings, brothers and sisters, and Shabbat Shalom. Good to see everyone once again on another Sabbath day. Thank you very much, children. As Brother Stefan said, we are very thankful for your service. You did a great job singing that song. Thankful. So they've been practicing that song for a couple of weeks. In 2 weeks, we're going to be in Toronto for Youth Day. And that's actually the song that all of the children will be singing. There's actually a theme for this Youth Day, which the theme is thankfulness. So that's the general theme. So I'll be giving the message, the sermon message, on the subject of thankfulness, and that is the song, once again, that the children will be singing. Zaloa actually will have the pleasure of serving as the worship leader for Youth Day. So Youth Day, once again, is where the young people run the service, and usually there's a sermonette as well given by one of the young people, so he's very excited to step into that role. And I've been, you know, working with him and training him on, you know, how to, you know, run, how to worship lead. So for me, it's one of those things. I very much do look forward to, you know, being introduced by my own son. Of course, as I said, I'll be speaking that day, and it'll be a great pleasure to be introduced by my firstborn child on Youth Day. So yeah, that's coming up in 2 weeks. Next week as well, we will be away. We will all be in Burlington with Horain, Pastor Horain, concluding our series of the retention conversation with the brethren in Burlington. So for today's message, let's begin in Galatians. Turn with me to the book of Galatians 5. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just go through it once again, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay. So when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, brethren, essentially we're thinking of the very nature, the very essence of who God is. And this is, of course, what God expects of us as His children. So it's all about us changing our nature from the old man, putting on the Spirit of God and focusing on these attributes that we just listed, these spiritual attributes, these spiritual characteristics known as the fruit of the Spirit. So for today's message, the fruit that we're going to focus on, of course, is the fruit of goodness. So this is the fruit that we are dealing with in the month here of July. And it really hit me just probably a couple days ago, actually, when my focus was actually on delivering a completely different message. But going back to, and I'm so bad with time, it was either, it wasn't last month, I believe it was the month before, when we had Noel from Toronto, Deacon Skoberg, and he gave a message on long-suffering. And, of course, that was the fruit that we were dealing with during that month. So it kind of hit me that it would be fitting that if we are able to focus on, you know, a subject, on a message, a sermon message, on one of the fruit of the Spirit, you know, during that month, then that would certainly be of benefit to all of us. So that's what we will be addressing today, and what I've spent the last couple of days just kind of researching and digging into the fruit of goodness. And that was one of the reasons why, during the opening discussion, I didn't have much to share and say, because I have certainly a lot to say right now. And it's interesting, and we've been around for a while, brothers and sisters, and how the Spirit of God works, because one of the examples, let's face it, when we talk about goodness, and that's what we're going to be addressing today, there are literally probably, I don't know if there's hundreds, but there are several examples of goodness that we can draw right from the scriptures. But it's interesting that the very example of goodness that Sandy chose to speak on, that's the same one that I have here in my notes with Joseph. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit works? As I said, so many examples to draw from. But that same very example in Genesis with Joseph, I have in my notes. And I'll still, address and get to that. But it's just amazing how that works. So when we think of goodness, the word in the Greek, if I can pronounce this correctly, is agathosune. Agathosune. So, and this is actually where the name, the female name Agatha, is derived from. So if you know anyone, if you have a friend named Agatha, essentially it means good or goodness. So agathosune is directly translated as virtue equipped at every point. Virtue equipped at every point. And it's used to describe the essential nature of God. So it's used to describe the essential nature of God. So it can mean, if you want to get deeper, merciful and kind, righteousness, good character, or moral excellence. Agathosune, which once again is goodness. Now, when we look at Mark 10:18, and you don't need to turn there, very simple verse, Mark 10:18. Yeshua the Christ says that no one is good except one, except for his Father. So Jesus tells us that no one is good except one. But we just read in Galatians that we are instructed to be good. We are instructed to have this nature, this character of goodness. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Why is it, and I'll just kind of throw it out as a question, that just for us to ponder, that people don't get excited about being good? Nobody really ever brags about, I'm good, I'm good. But on the flip side, it's certainly a thing where people get excited, they brag, and they boast about being bad. In fact, there are several, hit songs, and talking about in, pop culture, about being bad. So one of them that comes to mind, Michael Jackson, you know, I'm bad, singing about being bad. There's another song, and Shari, you might know the artist. I can't remember the artist. Bad to the bone. Who sings that? Bad to the bone. I'm not sure the artist. Yeah. And then there's another one by James Brown. He took it a step further. He has a song, a hit song, entitled Super Bad. So I'm not just bad, but I'm super bad. So in, the world, once again, being good is kind of, there's nothing, fancy or glamorous about that. But being bad is a thing. It's a cool thing to talk about. And as I said, there are several hit songs regarding being bad. So why is it that we do not get excited about being good, but we seem to get excited, or there seems to be something glamorous, and I'm talking we as in terms of just the world in general, about being bad? I'll give you an example. So my wife and I, of course, we have our four beautiful children, Zalom, Jerusalem, Shiloh, and Judah. Hi, guys. So Judah started school you know, this past September, you know, he went through the year, JK, junior kindergarten. So coming up in a couple of months when school resumes, he'll be in senior kindergarten, so the next stage, the next level. So let's say Judah goes to school one day and he comes home, and then I ask him, you know, hey Judah, were you a good boy today? Were you a good boy? What does that mean? What am I actually asking when I say to my son or any of my children, were you good? Were you a good boy today? So that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, let's say, for example, you had a friend in your class that fell down and scraped their knee, and you went out of your way to comfort them, or you walked them to the office so they could get ice. Or let's say, for example, you know, your teacher was walking into the room with a whole box of supplies, you know, rulers, pencil, crayons, this and that, and maybe he or she was kind of struggling with the box, and, you know, you took time to get out of your seat to actually, you know, help them, to assist them in that situation. That's not necessarily what it means when a parent would normally ask, were you good? What the parent is usually asking is, they're trying to find out if they were bad or if they weren't bad, right? So in other words, usually when we think about good, it's the opposite of bad. So it's not necessarily something that's actionable in terms of things that you actually did. It's a matter of, okay, you weren't bad. If you didn't do anything bad, if you didn't, you know, let's say, once again, using the kids as an example in school, if I'm asking my child, were you good today? Maybe I'm really asking, okay, you didn't punch somebody in the face, you didn't get suspended or expelled, okay, you were good. But is that really what being good is all about? Just simply not being bad? And I will submit to you that it most certainly is not. It most certainly is deeper than just not being bad. Now, in the New Testament, we see a perfect example of goodness. We see a picture of one who came to serve others, one who cared for the needy and the vulnerable, one who turned away from the temptations of the flesh to fulfill the will of him who sent him, his Father. We see a perfect picture of one who was obedient unto death. Basically, we see a very inspiring picture of the nature of goodness. Luke 6, let's turn there. Luke 6:45. Because when we talk about goodness, this is where the spirit of goodness really should stem from. Luke 6:45. A good man, so there's the word, they are good. A good man, out of the good treasure of his what? Of his heart, brings forth good. So let's read that again. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So here's the point that I want to make, brothers and sisters, is that goodness must start. That goodness must begin right here with the heart. Goodness must begin with the heart. It is hard to bear fruit if our heart is not in a good place. Our heart must be right with God. 2 Timothy 2:22. This is a heart issue. 2 Timothy 2:22, the foundation of the fruit of goodness. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue what? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this, once again, is the foundation. It allows us to bear fruit, having, brothers and sisters, a pure heart.
We must have a pure heart.
Now, there is one thing that will destroy a pure heart faster than anything else, and that one thing is our natural inclination, which of course is sin, because the only fruit that sin can bear is the fruit of death. James 1. Turn with me to James 1. The only fruit that sin can bear is the fruit of death. James 1, 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. So once again, brothers and sisters, our heart has to be in the right place. So that's the foundation. Our heart has to be right with God. In Romans 8, verse 7, it highlights the fact that badness, if you want to call it badness or sin, basically comes naturally, and goodness does not. Where it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we know where the scripture says that we were born in sin and shaped in what? Shaped in iniquity. So it's our natural inclination to be the opposite of good, which, yes, bad is indeed the opposite of good. John also explained that those who are truly of God and have God living in them through the Spirit, it says this, 1 John 4, verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So it's a spiritual issue. And once again, going back to Galatians and the list there, the fruit of the Spirit, those attributes, those are spiritual qualities. It's one thing to talk about, let's say, for example, you know, kindness or patience. And I'm talking kindness, for example, that the world knows, or patience that the world knows. But when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, these are spiritual qualities. It's of a spiritual essence. So when we talk about goodness, it's just not normal or everyday things of persons out in the world doing good things. This is a spiritual condition, a spiritual essence that of course stems from above, from him who is good, which is God alone. Now in the Bible, the goodness of God, it often refers to his gracious generosity in providing for our needs, in blessing us and providing for our needs. Turn with me to Psalm. The book of Psalms, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 6, where the psalmist wrote, surely goodness, so he's talking about obviously his relationship with God, surely goodness and mercy, the essence of God, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Romans 2, verse 4. I'm just going to go through some scriptures highlighting goodness here. Romans 2 and verse 4. Breaking into the text, it says, Romans 2, 4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Now it should be noted that God's goodness is much more than these things, are much more than we can just kind of, you know, sum up and put in a box. Once again, when we're talking about goodness, we're talking about the very essence or the very nature of who God is and what God represents, which is basically his character, his righteousness, and his holiness. In Ephesians 5, verse 9, we see that his goodness is closely associated with righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5, verse 9. We're breaking into the text. It says, Ephesians 5, 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Praise the Lord. So God's very standard, brothers and sisters, of goodness is his nature, his character, his being. And we could also say that God's very standard of goodness is found in the Ten Commandments, the commandments of love, the commandments that teach us to love God, and then, secondly, to love fellow man, to love each other. So we must do good. It's actionable. It's an actionable term, good works. Jesus wants his disciples to do good. John 15, verse 8. John 15, verse 8. Because it's not enough just to say that we are good, because once again, we are not doing bad things. In John 15, verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So being fruitful, brothers and sisters, and we're talking specifically regarding the fruit of goodness, the point I'm trying to make here is that it requires action. So being fruitful requires action. Once again, Jesus expects us to bear fruit, to be productive Christians, to produce. In James 1, verse 22, where he talks about knowing the right thing to do and then doing it, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So once again, simply abstaining from evil and doing nothing is not enough. As a believer, as a Christian, if I was to spend the majority of my time, you know, in my prayer closet, let's say, you know, because you have to sleep, so it couldn't be 24 hours a day. So let's say if I was to spend 16, 17 hours a day in my prayer closet, just, you know, praying, you know, reading scripture, you know, doing my study, fasting, things of that nature, that is not enough. God expects more. God expects action. He expects us, as we just read there, to produce fruit. And a lot of that has to do with our interaction with others, actually engaging other people, getting to know people, edifying others, particularly in the body of Christ, so that the body can grow. That's the expectation of God. So once again, simply abstaining from evil and doing things that are noble and that are good that God expects of us, like, you know, once again, Bible study and prayer and fasting, is not enough, is not good enough. Acts 10. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10. And we'll read about the acts of Jesus doing good, that he went about doing good works. Acts 10, down to verse 38, where it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. And healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So once again, it's not just a matter of abstaining from evil and just, you know, doing the bare minimum. He actually went about doing good. And one of the examples, or a couple of examples here, healing those who were oppressed. Good works, producing fruit. And that's exactly what God expects of us. Galatians 5, verse 13.
Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So by love serve one another, showing acts of goodness, allowing the fruit of goodness to bear and to show through our acts to one another, amongst one another. Matthew chapter 25. Let's take a look there, where we'll see Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats. And it shows that God knows how much we love him by how much we are showing self-sacrificing love for others. So let's read that parable, Matthew 25. It's a bit lengthy here, but let's go through it. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, down to above verse 46. The parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You received me. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave ye drink? When saw ye a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, now it gets harsh, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And this is why. Because I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Let that sit with you for a minute. Because what we just read there was regarding self-sacrificing love for one another. The fruit of goodness in action. The fruit of goodness in action. Self-sacrificing love is what God expects of us as we bear the fruit and produce fruit, the fruit of goodness. Luke chapter 6, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, where we see the instruction to do good, not just to those who do good to us, but in fact, we're instructed to be good, to do good, even to our enemies, which can certainly be challenging, but that's what we are called to do. But I say to you who hear, Luke 6:27, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Wow. This is what we're called to do. As children of the Most High God, it's not enough just to say, okay, I love you, or someone wrongs us, to say, okay, I forgive you, and you know, so let it be. But we are instructed to bless those who curse us and to pray for those who spitefully use us. And then if we go down in the same chapter there, Luke 6, verse 32, later he said, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. So basically, doing good to someone who does good to you, Jesus is pointing out here, is not true or pure goodness. Instead, it's rather, you can call it exchanging favors, where I would say, okay, I'm going to do good to my brother Stefan because he does good to me, and vice versa. But that's not the Christian standard. That's not the example of the fruit of goodness according to the word. That is not producing the fruit of goodness, the spiritual fruit of goodness, as God expects us to do. But in fact, we are instructed, and we just read there, to show good works, to show love to even our very enemies. That's what we're called to do. That is the very essence, the very nature of the fruit of goodness, which, as I spoke about earlier, stems from the heart. It's the condition, the human nature, that should come naturally once we are in the Spirit. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's turn there. And what we want to highlight here in Galatians 6 is that we have a special responsibility to do good to those that are in the faith. We have a special responsibility to do good to those who are in the faith. So our sister, I'll use as an example, Sonia, who, God willing, will be an official member of the body of Christ in due time, in terms of, you know, going through that process of, you know, baptism, repentance, the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit and whatnot. So I would submit to you, Sonia, that you have, or once you're in the body of Christ, will have a special responsibility to show goodness to Wilma, to show goodness to Brenna, to show goodness to Charlene. I have a special responsibility to show goodness to Sandy, to show goodness to Stefan. As believers, and we'll read the text here in Galatians, we have a special responsibility to show goodness to those who are within the household of faith, those who are within the body of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14. We know, 1 John 3:14, that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. We're showing goodness unto the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So once again, we have a special responsibility to do good unto those who are in the faith. And why is that? Why do we have a special responsibility to do good, to show good works to those who are within the faith? So first, I believe we have to understand that God is a family. Do we agree, brothers and sisters? God is a family, presently consisting of Yahweh, so God the Father, and Yeshua the Christ, his Son, at his right side. And the whole aim, what God is doing, is trying to produce us. Obviously, we're in the flesh now, but the whole aim is for us to eventually change, to be transformed, to be spiritual beings, born again into the family of God. So family is very important to God. And we understand our calling, that we are called to be first fruits, to be what? To be lights onto the world, to be lights onto the nations. And all of the fruit, not just goodness, but all of the fruit that we, you know, read about in Galatians there, those are the qualities, the spiritual characteristics, spiritual qualities that we are, that we must possess, and that we must show, and that ultimately we must teach others, that we must teach the world. But it begins with us first. It begins within the family of God. If I don't know how to show love and goodness to my dear sister Sandy, or my dear sister June over there, if I don't know how to show love and forgiveness and kindness and you know, the other attributes, other spiritual attributes of the fruit of the Spirit within the family of God first, how are we ever going to be lights in the world and take this gospel message and go out there and teach the nations and edify and teach those who God is calling? So this is why we have, once again, a special responsibility to show love, and specifically to display and to show goodness amongst each other in the faith, in the body of Christ. You know, last week we were blessed to have, first of all, we had beautiful weather. The weather was gorgeous last week. And Stefan and Sandy were so kind and gracious and good, in fact, to open, you know, their doors to have some extended fellowship. Did we all have a good time last week? Wasn't that beautiful? Who had a good time? We did. And it wasn't just that they opened their doors and allowed us to, you know, sit in their beautiful, lovely backyard and amongst nature, and we had great conversation. It wasn't just that. You know, they went out of their way to make sure that, you know, we were comfortable, that we were fed. You know, I recall, you know, Stefan, you know, he came to me and, you know, once again, it's a hot, very hot day. And he presented me, he gave me a cold beer, a cold drink. And I can't tell you how much I really appreciate that. You know, these little things that we can call acts of love or acts of goodness. And I'll tell you, if that beer wasn't cold, perhaps I wouldn't consider it an act of goodness. But the fact that it was nice and cold, thank you very much. But that's just an example in terms of, you know, us spending quality time in fellowship amongst each other as brothers and sisters, showing acts of kindness, specifically acts of goodness that stem right here. It's coming naturally from the heart. This is what God expects. That's what you call goodness in action. Goodness in action, producing the fruit, the spiritual fruit of goodness, which once again is of the very nature of who God is and what God expects of us as his children. So I want to take a look at two biblical examples of, once again, this nature of goodness in action. So the nature of goodness in action. And as I said, Sandy took one of my examples, but I'm going to still go there. But first, turn with me to the book of Matthew, first chapter of Matthew, Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now, this is a line of text or a line of scripture that perhaps we overlook, that we might not necessarily associate, you know, what happens in this account, which we'll read in a second, with the spiritual fruit of goodness. But once we read it, and I add a little bit of context, hopefully we see the act, the spiritual act of goodness, once again, the nature of goodness in action. Matthew 1, 18 to 19. Matthew 1, 18 to 19. So we're dealing with Mary and Joseph here. Now the birth of Jesus, this is 18, verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, so before they had relations, sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, so I think that's very important that that was put in there for context, Joseph being not just a regular Joe, but being a just man, and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So this, I will submit to you, brothers and sisters, is an example of a good man doing a good act out of the goodness of his heart. So let's put things in perspective here. If you were Joseph, I'll just use myself as an example. If I was Joseph, and I know that it's during that initial, you know, stage of marriage, and I know that I haven't lied with my wife, and all of a sudden I'm here finding out that she is with child, that she is pregnant, I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be angry. I'm going to have all kinds of emotions stemming, and that's, you know, a natural human thing. But also what would come naturally to most persons who, once again, who are not of the faith, who don't have that spiritual fruit of goodness, and this, I would say, stems from anger, is perhaps, you know, this desire to, you know, get revenge, or perhaps to create an example of the person who you feel betrayed you. I mean, think about it. And I hate to use, you know, live examples, but if you were to, you know, think about or consider the fact, or you had an inkling that your spouse was unfaithful to you, the natural human condition would cause all kinds of negative thoughts and things to do to perhaps expose that person. And we see things playing out in the news and in the media, where sometimes people will, you know, go on, you know, they'll use social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever, to, you know, publicly shame somebody or publicly expose someone who hurt them or did this and that to them. In this particular situation, Joseph, who obviously didn't understand what was going on, he was hurt. And he definitely could have put Mary to shame, or I'll use a term that some of the young persons use, put her, you know, on blast. He could have exposed her. But instead, he chose to show mercy, and he chose to protect her. He does good. He does the right thing out of love, out of mercy, out of goodness. And of course, later on, you know, shortly thereafter, if you continue reading, Joseph will become in the know, you know, visited by God, to realize that what took place there, this, you know, spiritual, you know, conception, if you want to call it that, was indeed, you know, an act of God. And that, of course, his wife, Mary, did not, you know, do anything wrong and did not, you know, step out on him in any way, shape, or form. But just the very fact that Joseph, you know, assumed or thought that she did, but he chose out of the goodness of his heart to, you know, handle the situation quietly, secretly. I mean, let's face it, back in those days, you know, he definitely and perhaps would have had all right to make a public spectacle and perhaps called on, you know, the chief priests and whatnot and say, we need to stone this woman and put her to death and so on and so forth. But that is certainly not how Joseph reacted. So I will submit to you that this was indeed, especially under these circumstances, an act of goodness. Genesis 45. So this is picking up on the same example that Sandy gave. So now we're looking at the other Joseph. So Joseph in the Old Testament, right? So we just talked about Joseph in the New Testament. Of course, another Joseph here in the Old Testament. And you did a great job, Sandy, of, kind of painting the picture of what took place there. So I won't harp on it too much. But basically, Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. And eventually, he rose to power in Egypt. In fact, he was second, behind Pharaoh, he was second in power in all of Egypt. So it's interesting, when you think about where Joseph was and then where he eventually became, he went from here, from down here, to up here in terms of stature, in terms of power. And obviously a lot of things took place in between, but God was certainly with him the whole time. And then of course, due to the situation and the pending famine in the land, it caused him to, reunite with his brothers who once sold him into slavery. And let's read the account there in terms of this encounter. Just Genesis 45, verse 10 and 11. And I'm going to read this from the NIV. I kind of like the way it's summed up here in the NIV. Genesis 45, 10 to 11. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there because 5 years of famine are still coming. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. So I'll submit to you, brothers and sisters, that that's not just an act of kindness. That's the nature of a good man stemming from the heart, showing the fruit of kindness. Because Joseph, he had all the power and all the ability to do bad, to get revenge on his brothers. Think about the time that lasted, the years that went on. It would only be normal, only be natural, the human inclination to build up this rage in your mind and to conjure up all kinds of wicked things that you would do to your brothers if you ever crossed paths with them again. Say, oh, if I see these guys based on what they did to me and whatever, now that I have especially all this control and all this power, when I get my opportunity, when I get my chance, this is what I'm going to do. But not so. Not so here with Joseph here in the Old Testament. Once again, not just an act of kindness, but the very nature stemming from the heart, showing his true character, his true nature. And of course, he was a man that was in close relationship with God. God was with him. And eventually, all of us here, if we haven't already, will find ourselves in similar situations to what those two accounts that we just read. We're either, it'll be a situation like Joseph in the New Testament where we feel or we think we've been wronged by somebody, or by this account that we just read here, by this Joseph in the Old Testament, where indeed we have been wronged by somebody else. And the question is, how are we going to respond to such a situation? How are we going to act? Because we have a choice. We could, try to, once again, out of anger and resentment and, conjure up all kinds of different ideas and thoughts to, seek revenge or try to, engage in some kind of a battle with those who either we felt wronged us or indeed did wrong us. Or we can take the example of, once again, both Josephs in the Old, Joseph in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and out of the good nature of our hearts, extend love, mercy, kindness, which once again is summed up in the term the spiritual fruit of goodness. We have a choice. We have a choice to make. So as I begin to wind down here, we're talking about, once again, the spiritual fruit of goodness. But I hope I outlined is not just the opposite of being bad. So it's not just a matter of what we restrain from or what we don't do. But God actually expects us to be fruitful. God expects us to show acts of goodness one to another, and especially, as we read earlier, amongst the brothers and sisters, the household of faith, the body of Christ. Last week, we had our pastor here, Pastor Harim, and one of the things he talked about was, you know, at any given moment, you know, we don't know when we're going to take our last breath. And it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, death is not a respecter of persons. Not only can we go at any time, but eventually we will go. But here's the thing, and I'll perhaps leave you with this. When it's all said and done, you know, when, you know, we're, our time on earth is done, this should be our aim, that it should be said of you, and I'll use Stefan as an example, that you were a good man. It should be said of Sonia, you were a good woman. It should be said of Brenda, you were a good woman. Sandy, you were a good woman. Zion, you were a good man. And everybody here, you were good. So when we are gone, it should be said of us that we were good. But here's the thing. It shouldn't just be said of us that we were good because we didn't do bad things. That's not it. That's the important thing. It shouldn't just be said of us that we were good people because we didn't commit any major atrocities. We didn't do bad things. But indeed, we were good because of our actions, because of the way we treated people, because of the way we went out of our way to make other persons feel comfortable, to feel loved. Because even those who would persecute us and those who would spitefully use us, that we would still go out of our way to love them, to not just to, you know, say, okay, I forgive you and move on, but to even go further and to show acts of kindness. See, if we go back to the example of Joseph in the Old Testament, when he approached his brothers, he could have easily said, okay, you know what, I forgive you, what happened in the past is the past, God be with you, and okay, I'm going to go on my way. He could have done that. And maybe that wouldn't have been such a bad thing, especially everything that he'd been through. But he took it a step further. He didn't just say, I forgive you, and you know, the rest is history, and you go your way, I'll go my way. He was in a position of power to serve them and to take care of them, especially with the pending famine on the land. That is an act of goodness. That's showing, bearing the fruit of goodness. So once again, when it's all said and done, let it be said of each and every one of us that he was a good man, she was a good person, not because we weren't bad, but because of the acts of goodness that we did, showing goodness to each other. The very nature of goodness stemming from the heart, being led by God's Holy Spirit, doing good acts, producing good fruit, being good and showing love one to another, bearing the fruit of goodness. Praise the Lord.